You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Pastor Jim is teaching verse by verse through the book of Luke. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to worship with us, we have service times and directions available on our church's website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim in today's study.
Why don't we turn to Luke chapter 12. You know, we're traveling through the New Testament on Sunday mornings, and so we're in Luke chapter 12, and we started in Matthew. For those of you who are kind of maybe newer to how we do things here at Calvary Chapel, we actually literally do teach through the Word, not just from the Word, not just about the Word, but we teach the Word, and we go through the Word while we teach the Word. So kind of exciting, and we're enjoying traveling through, as it were, together through the New Testament on Sunday mornings. We started in Matthew, and then we did Acts. After Acts, we went back and did Mark, and then we did Romans. Now we're in Luke, and then we'll go do 1 Corinthians, and we'll catch up to ourselves, and then we'll just start traveling through. But in order so that there would be a freshness in going through the Gospels, because there is some redundancy there, this allows for a little bit of a freshness for us as we travel through. And then we'll pick up and start going just right consecutively through the New Testament. Now, Sunday evenings, we're actually at the end of the Bible and the beginning of a lot of great things, and that's in Revelation on Sunday nights in Midtown. And so we're teaching through, we're in chapter 5 this evening of Revelation. And then on Wednesday nights, we're in Deuteronomy, as we are just traveling through the Old Testament, and there we are doing the same thing. It's just consecutive traveling through the Old Testament and not jumping back and forth or anything, but just going through the Old Testament. And then Thursday evening, we're going through in Midtown in more of a home study setting, the book of Acts. And so you can kind of see it's interesting for me, because I'm actually in all of the Bible studies. They're actually a part of them. And so I really am able to kind of just grasp some of these things that we're talking about that is interesting. Because when we're going through this in Acts just recently, we just finished what happened with Ananias and Sapphira and this whole thing of hypocrisy. And then while we've been going through Revelation, we've been talking about the hypocrisy that happens in the church, as it were, and through, you know, just organized religion, as it were. See, I'm not into that. That's not what I'm a proponent of. I really am a proponent of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I think religion is an absolute dead end, literally. I mean, I really think that. It's a dead end. It does not accomplish the things that God has accomplished through his son, Jesus Christ. And we can have that through relationship. But it doesn't come through the works and efforts of our flesh. It comes through the finished work and believing on the finished work of the cross, of what Jesus has done for all of humanity and all who will call upon his name. And so that kind of sums up or encapsulates some of the things that we've been going through. And I find that in Revelation, it talks about, as we go through the seven epics of church history in chapters 2 and 3 in Revelation, and you kind of learn these things about religion and the emptiness of it. And then I find out that God set a real precedent with the early church, set a very strong precedent regarding hypocrisy and the false concepts associated with religion, and how we can become hypocritical in the fact of really trying to act like we had more to do with our salvation than we did. You and I really don't have anything to do with it other than simply receiving it, accepting God's grace graciously, you know, just receiving it into our hearts and walking in that newness of life. And what a blessing. But there's something sick about all of humanity that we just desire to have something to do with it. And therefore, it leads to religious things. And we try and put ourselves into it more and act like we had a bigger part of it than we did. God did it all for us. And we have so much to be thankful for and rejoice in as believers. So this morning, as we get into chapter 12, one of the two things that Jesus mentions in chapter 12 in the first 34 verses. There are two main topics in these 34 verses. And the first one is this issue of hypocrisy. Now, if you recall, Jesus has been discussing or actually having a discussion with some of the religious leaders. And as he's talking with them, he says, hey, man, your perspective is a little bit off. It's skewed. You're not seeing things really as they are. Actually, your eye, he says, is blurred. It's darkened. You're not having that right perspective of circumstances, of life, of situations, and especially of God and eternity. And so he kind of goes on and he talks about these things. And then he gets to this point where they're debating with him. And he says, man, you know what? In verse 52, he says, woe to you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. And you did not enter in yourselves, and those who were entering in, you hindered. He says, you've acted like it's not possible for the common person to understand relationship with God. And you've complicated this whole process of being a follower of God. And so this whole thing that this acting as if there's no way a regular person could know about it, and this is what religion does. There's most of the time there's a desire for hierarchy that they would know and the regular people didn't know. You understand that your New Testament that you have, that you're reading right now, that's been translated into English, was originally written in Koine Greek. Street Greek. That's what that means. That's what it was, street Greek. They thought it was some Holy Spirit language originally. That's what they thought, oh, this is some special language when they were first discovering some of the documents and stuff. But they, as time went by, they got into some dump sites. This is no kidding. They got into some dump sites, and they found these parchments and these letters written from people like us, just to each other. And they realized that, wow, this stuff that was written here and those match up. The Bible that you have, the New Testament that you have, and those dump site letters that are written from people to people were the same language. In other words, it was the language of the common peepers. Now, you've seen those. You get those at Easter time, and they're little, the yellow ones. A lot of people really like those. Boy, you know, where some of that stuff comes from, I don't know. But it happens. Anyway, moving along. Peepers. Let's begin in verse 1 of chapter 12. In the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together, and I love this, it's just the common people that are drawn to him. The religious ones, you know, want to figure out how they're going to get rid of him. They just want to eliminate Jesus, but the regular folks are really drawn to him. They'd gathered together so that they trampled one another. There was just so many pressing in to get in contact with Jesus. There was something wonderful about him that drew them to him. And he began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. And so he says there is this leaven, which is a type of sin in the Bible. And this type of sin is identified as hypocrisy. And just a little bit of it, it starts off with just a little tiny bit, and it permeates and starts to take over. And the dangers of this hypocrisy. Wanting to be seen different than we really are. That's the simple explanation of hypocrisy. Now, when they use this term, it's a term that they use for an actor. And they had a little mask, you know, like on a stick, and they would trade masks, you know, and they'd be like play acting. And that's where we get this word hypocrisy. Play actors. They're fake. They're not really who they look like, but they change masks depending upon the play they're in. We see this in our world today, you know that. And Jesus says, beware of that type of sin that the Pharisees, those who are religious, which it is hypocrisy. Be very cautious of this. And he says, this is a real big issue. For there is nothing covered. And he gives this kind of explanation. Now, there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. It's an irrational thought process, hypocrisy is, to think that it's not going to be exposed, or that our thoughts are not going to be revealed ultimately, or our motives are not going to be revealed ultimately. Jesus goes on and says, therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light, and whatever you have spoken in the ear in inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops. Two things that Jesus is very concerned about, that his disciples would be aware of. Two main things. Hypocrisy is the first. He says this is a real issue. Verse 4, he says, and I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has power to cast you into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 copper coins? And not one of them is forgotten before God. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. Again, this is not, verses 4, 5, 6, and 7 are in the context of beware of hypocrisy. It's not separate. This is a whole thought that Jesus is conveying. And he says, this is irrational thinking that we can cover up, we can be fake, that God... See, God knows everything about all of our hearts. God knows us intimately. And this idea of hypocrisy, this playing the actor, playing the part, you remember what happened with Ananias and Sapphira. It's a great example of it. You remember what happened. They lied about what they had sold a piece of property for. And lying was not why they got struck dead. They got struck dead because they tried to act. There was this big thrust of enthusiasm and excitement because people were taking what they had sold things for and they were giving it to the apostles for the distribution of others so that everybody could kind of stay and get really actually discipled and grow. It was a spontaneous thing that just happened, this communal living. It was just something spontaneous that happened in the first century church. It just, boom, instantaneously. Now, a lot of these people were traveling. They were visitors, and they don't want to send them back to their country and just with no understanding of really who God really is or anything. So they don't just send them away. They let's stay together. And so people were selling things that they had, and they were kind of just sharing in common those things. Well, Ananias and Sapphira got all excited about this. But they conspired together about how much they had sold. But they wanted to appear real spiritual. They wanted to seem real spiritual. Ooh, now we're getting into what verse 4 and 5 is talking about. Now we're getting into something here. And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body. Mankind, other people, yeah, they could. What is their view of you? That's what it's talking about. Man, I love that in Philippians. Jesus made himself of no reputation. And what are you and I most concerned about most of the time? Our reputation. Who cares what people think about you? Man, he says, man, be concerned about what God thinks about you, not what people think about you. And see, hypocrisy is more concerned about what people think. But people might be able to destroy the body, that fear that they could maybe destroy your body. But man, that's not the ultimate thing that you should be concerned about. We should have reverent respect and fear for the one true living God. The one who can actually has real control over our destiny in that sense. That's whom we're to fear, not other people. Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man always brings a snare. That's a fact. The fear of man brings a snare. Man, doesn't it though? We start worrying about what people think and how they see us and this and that. And then it just creates this weird fear inside of us. And it really, that fear leads to hypocrisy. The fear of what people think can lead us into that hypocrisy. And we can start playing the hypocrite. Peepers do that. They play the hypocrite. Peepers and people. But you can see how that falls into, you know. Well, what if I don't wear, you know, get all super dressed up? You know, on a Sunday morning. We should be very thankful that, you know, we're comfortable in casual attire. But man, people can come as they want. As dressed up as they want and as dressed down as they want. Because God's interested in your heart. That's what God's interested in. He's interested in my heart and your heart. Our hearts, that's what he's interested in. Not all this external stuff. What were the religious people all obsessed about? And that, remember, Jesus was just dealing with this. Hey, you didn't wash your hands ceremonially. That's what we just spoke about in our recent study. And these are the kind of things, and Jesus is saying, man, you've missed it. Fear of what people think. And then he goes on in verse 6 and 7 and really gives a great definition for this. He says, are not five sparrows sold for 2 copper coins? I mean, it's just these worthless little birds, basically, and they're sold for 2 copper coins. And not one of them is forgotten before God. Not one of them dies and hits the ground, but that God's not keenly aware of it. And then he goes on and says, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. He says, God knows you intimately, knows all about you. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. He says, man, put your trust in God, not in other people's view of who you are. Put your trust in the living God. What does God think about you? What does God think about your response? What does God think about what your friends say at school and how you handle yourself at school? What do your friends say about the job site? What does God think about the job site and how you handle yourself? What does God think about your interaction and reaction and carrying on and how you talk with your husband and your wife and your children? And what does God think about? That's really what matters. Not what other people think, but what does God think about that? What does God's word say about that? All in the context of this idea of hypocrisy. He says, man, fear can lead you into that. Be careful. And then he also goes on and says to them, whoever confesses me before men, him the Son of Man will confess before the angels of God. He loves us so much. You know, really, that he doesn't even ever take his eyes off of us. He's focused on you. You are the apple of his eye. God loves you that much. Basically, what he's saying, one of the keys to help you regarding hypocrisy is make it clearly known who you are and to whom you belong. That will help you with hypocrisy. You get into a job site environment. Better to offer someone an invite to church because it starts to clearly talk about intent. If you talk to someone, you say, hey, listen, if you ever want to just go with me on Wednesday night or Thursday night or whatever night you want to go, Sunday night and Sunday morning, whatever, you say that right out of the bat. You talk to somebody that you meet. You tell them, hey, listen, how about if you ever want to come to youth group meeting, whatever it is, whatever age you are, you connect it with God. You ever want to do something like that with me? Would you like to go with me? Would you like to do this? You know what? It sure stops them from wanting to pass you a hit off of something. It sure slows down the, hey, well, you want to go party with us? It sure slows down all that activity. Because you've already stated where you're at. You've already said, hey, this is who I am. This is what I'm about. And it's going to curtail. Now you're not going to get pushed into this hypocrisy thing, you know, where you're going to be getting caught in this compromise situation. Those are good keys. These are helpful, what Jesus is saying to us here. Let it be known. Be clear. Confess Christ before men. Just tell people. It's a good key to help us from to keep ourselves from playing the hypocrite. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. And anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But to him who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven. And then when they bring you into the synagogues and magistrates, I'll get back to that. I know your wheels are turning. I'll get back to that. When they bring you to the synagogues and the magistrates and the authorities, do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. The Lord's going to minister to you. The Lord's going to give you insight by the power of His Spirit on what to say and how to handle that situation in a way that might bring Him glory. You know, rejecting God's love through His Son, Jesus Christ, and leaving the planet rejecting God is the only unpardonable sin. That's the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Spirit is to draw us and to point us to the person of Jesus Christ. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, to draw us into, to woo us, to pull us in. The Holy Spirit's always pointing to Jesus, always pointing to Jesus. And that we feel when we're being drawn in, that the Spirit comes alongside and starts to pull us in and starts to point out who Jesus is and how much He loves us. But the person that blasphemes or ultimately rejects the plan of salvation through Jesus Christ. In other words, there is a finality to that. There is no other chance. Once you breathe your last here, there is no other chance. This is a very important thing. This gives us a sense of urgency in our communication with others, because that is it. The opportunity, I always encourage people, today is the day of salvation. Don't wait till tomorrow. Well, don't put it off, man. God loves you. God wants to have fellowship with you. God's got a purpose and a plan for your life. But don't hold off. Don't hold off. Don't hold off. Putting it off till tomorrow, to tomorrow, to tomorrow. But I can't guarantee you, and you can't guarantee you tomorrow. You've got today. So today is the day of salvation. Man, we want to confess Jesus, not be caught up in these hypocrisy things. So Jesus is talking to His disciples and says, hey, there's a couple of things you really need to be aware of and be cautious about. And so the first was hypocrisy. Hi, this is Pastor Jim. I know as you've been listening to the Word today that God may very well be speaking to many of you, and maybe some of you just need to come back to the Lord. Maybe some of you need to give your life to the Lord who've never given your lives to the Lord. Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, Jesus said that calling out to those who are burdened with the things of life. And Jesus wants us to come alongside with Him. He is gentle and lowly in heart, and that's where we're going to really find rest for our souls. It's a simple prayer of faith, and I just want to pray this simple prayer along with you. So if you just want to pray this, whether you're driving or whether you're sitting at home or wherever you are, you might be in your office, you might have this coming on through your earbuds, but the Lord wants to make Himself known to you and for you to have a personal relationship with Him. I'm not talking about religion, I'm talking about a personal relationship. And it starts by just saying yes to Jesus and giving your life to Him. Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I want to give my life to you. I want to ask that you would forgive me of all my sin. I want to cast all my cares upon you, knowing that you care for me. And I know that, Lord, I feel weighted down and burdened by the things of this life, and I just want to have that newness of life. And so I ask that you'd come into my life and be my personal Lord and Savior. And I receive you as my Lord and Savior into my heart, and I ask that you would just continue that work that you've begun in my life right now. And I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you can be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. And you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Calvary Chapel KC. Also, Living Fountains podcasts are available in the iTunes store, and you can download them at no cost. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, the service times and directions can be found on calvarychapelkc.com, or you can simply contact the church office at 913-681-1635. It's been great spending time with you in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains.